Paintball. Paintball, I heard. All right. So good, good. I'm glad that you have stuff that you want to accomplish. This morning, I want you to begin by thinking about this, okay? There are people who actually have this disease, but I want to exaggerate it a little bit. Imagine if your body didn't obey your brain. Seriously. Like, imagine if your body didn't obey your brain. It's kind of like you're walking around and it's like, stop it. Stop it. And it just does whatever it wants. Wouldn't that be just weird? Yeah, you're over here slapping your face. Yeah, like hey, knock it off. You know, sort of a thought process. Again, guys, like, this actually happens to some people, not to an extreme sometimes, but there's this incredible, like, advance in technology that when your body isn't following your electrical signals from your brain properly, they can actually put, like, an implant into your brain to help control the electrical impulses going through your body. Isn't that wild? That is wild. Okay? And they can do this for all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, for people who are paralyzed, they will help them control stuff by putting an implant in their brain to send an impulse when their body can't do it anymore. And so this technology exists, and you know if there's a technology, Elon Musk is going to take it to the next level, right? Oh, yeah. He's doing it. He's trying to develop a chip that you can implant in your brain even when everything is functioning okay. All right? And it's like, okay, so what are your intentions here, Elon Musk? Right? What are you trying to do here by putting a chip in my brain? I don't know. But he has these thoughts, right, that at first we can just kind of study the brain. Like, this is his thought process. Yeah, right, Elon. Yeah, right. We're just going to study the brain to see what electrical impulses go where and how can we manipulate it to get what we want. My first thought goes, Ultron? Like, have we learned nothing from the Avengers at all? Like, this is a bad idea, Elon Musk. But I'm going to be honest, I don't think he's the first one to have this idea. And you go, whoa. I think this is actually kind of a biblical idea that God had a really, 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 really long time ago. And so we're going to look at that today. Okay, think about that idea. It's pretty wild when you start to grasp what God's intentions are, which I'm sure is a lot different than what Elon Musk's intentions are. Not that I have anything against him. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go where you were this morning. John 14, we're going to be looking at 15 through 27. And this, again, is in context. We have the disciples, right, spending their last moments with Jesus. The disciples are spending their last moments with Jesus before he goes up on the cross. And so he's telling them all of this news. This is after what we call the Last Supper, where Judas basically says, yeah, I'm the guy who's going to betray you. So he's already left. We're down to 11, right? These are the 11 who are in the game, right? And they are just distraught at this news that Jesus is going away. And so Jesus has lots and lots of words for him. And today we're going to look at another command promise that Jesus has. So let's go to verse 15. We ended at 14 yesterday. Let's look at 15 and see what Jesus has to say to them. If you love me. No, I'm going to stop right there, okay? Because some of us would be like, I wonder if they do. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Okay, in Greek you have these statements that are if-then statements. If you do this, then this. But they don't leave anything to question. Okay, so this one was written in the affirmative. If is actually because. If already assumes you're there. And again, Judas is the one who left. The 11 aren't leaving. Jesus knows these are the ones who love him. If you love me, which you do, keep my commands. Okay? This is what the disciples have to do. Now, Jesus is going to switch gears. He's going to talk about what he's going to do. You disciples, keep my commands. This is what I'm going to do. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Why is that good news? Why is that good news to the disciples right there? Because Jesus is leaving, right? And he's saying, okay, hold on. I'm not going to leave you by yourselves. I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you somebody else. I'm going to send you an advocate. Someone who's going to be there for you. That's what an advocate does. They help you. They are there on your behalf. They are there to serve you. I'm going to send this guy. All right? And so I think we're all left with the question, what? Who is this? Who is this, the Spirit of Truth? The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Notice they didn't say see him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see that? He's already with you, but something different's going to happen. Something that has never really happened before is going to happen here. Okay? The Holy Spirit is with you. You know him. He's been around you. But he's going to be in you soon. He's going to be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. Same language, right? As the Holy Spirit in you. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And remember, they love him. He knows this. So he's kind of switched gears again. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. What an incredible promise this is from Jesus. Verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot. I love how they put that in quotations because you know what my first thought would have been? I thought he left. No, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Whew. That's a great question, isn't it? Right? You spend all this time with the 11. How come just us? Why not everybody else? Here's Jesus' response. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And I love that. Anyone, right? It's no longer you. Jesus opens this up. No. It's not just for you. Anyone who loves me, because there will be people who love me, will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, some will love me, some will not love me, and the promises that I have for you are going to be for those who love me as well. They're included in this. Verse 25, he's going to finish up here. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I'm going to send you the Advocate. Now, what in the world is Jesus talking about with this whole Advocate thing? If you love me, which you do, you're going to keep my commandments. Okay. Well, that's their intention. They desire to keep my commandments. And you know, Jesus is really just repeating a promise that was made well long before the disciples ever lived. Way before the disciples ever lived, this promise was made. I want everybody to go to Jeremiah with me. All right, Jeremiah, big book. We're going to go to chapter 31. If I'm wrong, it's 34. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. Anybody else have that problem? Okay, yeah. It's like, you should know you wrote it. But I don't. So. Oh, it is. It is. It's chapter 31. I was right. Woohoo! Victory number one today. That's right. 1-0. I'm winning. I read my own handwriting. All right, so we're in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, and I probably wrote 31 up there, so I could find it. Would have just looked. I would have been fine, but that's okay. All right, this is what was said. God told this to the prophet Jeremiah to declare to everybody else. In verse 31 of chapter 31, he says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah." You see, there have been a series of covenants that God has made with people throughout history. And this is kind of the last saying of God, saying this is the final covenant. This is the new covenant that I'm going to make with my people. This is the covenant. "It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will put my law in their minds and in their hearts." Now, how in the world are you going to do that, God? What does Jesus say is going to happen here in John 14? "I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he's no longer going to be just with you. He's not going to be in the car with you like we think of someone with us walking side by side. No, 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 this is more intimate. This is more personal. This is more permanent. Jesus is going to come inside of you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to become one with you. He's going to affect your mind. He's going to affect your heart. He's going to cause you to remember the teachings of Jesus. He's going to help you be obedient to God because you love him and you want to obey him. In fact, one of the very first changes that happens when we begin to trust God is we actually want to obey, which isn't that weird, right? Because normally when your parents are like, "Obey me," you're like, you know, if you would have asked, I would have felt better, but now you tell me to obey? Ugh. But when we actually trust Jesus, we're like, God, you have the words of life. I want to obey you. And so when I'm looking at someone and I want to say, hey, do you trust Jesus or not? I'm looking for that heart, because that heart changes. And we say, God, I want to obey you. I want to follow your truth. Your words have life. It's the Holy Spirit doing that work. And so he's causing us. He's changing our heart. He's changing our mind to want to obey him, just like Jesus said would happen. But there is a tension. Because even though I have the desire, I don't always obey. Even though I want to, even though I know how good God's words are, I know the truth, and the truth sets you free, and I want to be free, but I continue to live in sin. I continue to do things I don't want to do. I continue to think things I don't want to think. I continue to feel things I don't want to feel, and it grieves me. I hate it. It's more than a conscience, right? Because our conscience can change, right? Our conscience can be affected by a lot of things. In fact, your conscience can actually lead you towards evil, because our consciences can do that. If you sit and listen to bad lyrics of a song over and over and over and over and over and over again, your conscience is going to start to mold into the language of that song. All right, that's what our consciences do. No, this is an actual person, the presence of God in our heart telling us to do something, but we just can't do it. That's the tension. Why? Why can't I do what I want to do? Why can't I do what I want to do? And it's because we see this in the New Testament. We still have what we call that sinful nature. It hasn't been fully eradicated, and it's not going to be fully eradicated until this body is gone. Okay? It's there. We need the Holy Spirit, because this sinfulness is still inside of me, and I don't want to follow it anymore. I love Jesus, but it's still pushing me away from Jesus. And so what does the Holy Spirit do? Remember what that computer chip did? It fixed it, right? So that when I want to do this, it actually does what I want it to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It empowers us. He empowers us to do the right thing. He reminds us of the things that Jesus taught, just like Jesus said he would. He speaks and guides and moves us around to do what we wanted to do in the first place. Because I love Jesus and I want to obey. He's not a heavy hand that forces you to do it. No, he's advocating. He's helping you do what you had wanted to do. Our hearts are changed. I want to obey Jesus. I want to live the life that he has for me. I just can't, so I need the Holy Spirit to do this work in my heart every single day and give me the strength and give me the power and continue to give me the desire to do what I now want to do. This is a good gift. This is a really good gift that God is giving us, himself. And in this unity with the Holy Spirit, with him coming inside of our hearts, we're closer to God than we've ever been. He's in us in a loving, encouraging way, reminding us of Jesus and his great love for us, continually over and over and over again. And that's why when I look through Scripture, I see lists like I see in Colossians 3. And you see this a lot, where it says stuff like, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things from above. This has already happened. You've already come to Christ. You want to obey, so set your hearts on that obedience. This is where he tells us to put to death these things that you don't want to do. If you are a believer in Christ, you agree. I don't want to live in sexual immorality. I don't want to live in impurity. I don't want to live in lust. I don't want these evil desires and this greed. I want to get rid of all of them. And why in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Colossians, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Yes, Lord, clothe me with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Forgiving one another. Lord Jesus, yes, this is what I want. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in us. He understands that the sinful nature is still there, but I am here. And I'm going to lead you into those things. Trust me. Obey me. Because I am here to advocate for you. I want this for you just like you want this for you. So listen to me. Put off those things. Put on this new life. What an incredible gift. Which leads me to the main statement I want you guys to hear today. If you want to go on to the next one. Oh, not that one. All right, go back two. We're there. My fault. You probably already wrote this down. Oh, cool. Well, there it is. Life in Jesus is a life of obedience to the Holy Spirit. Life in Jesus is a life of obedience to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's kind. And the Holy Spirit's loving. The Holy Spirit has this very same essence as Jesus, the very same essence as the Father in heaven. He is God, just with a different personality. And he comes in us to lead us and guide us. And he leads gently. He leads softly. He says, Mark, this is what you want to do. Trust me. Follow me. Put that stuff off. Put this stuff on. And what you find as you continue to grow and grow and grow in your obedience to the Holy Spirit, you're going to find it just a little bit easier every time to obey him. Because you learn to grow in your trust and your response to the Holy Spirit. And you begin to feel more and more and more of that life that God has for you and wants for you in Christ Jesus. How do I get more of this Holy Spirit in me? How do I hear him a little bit clearer so that I can obey? We're going to end with Luke 11, 9 through 13 this morning. Because I want you to see the heart of Jesus here. I want you to see the heart of God and what he wants for you. Because again, when we think obedience, we think things I don't want to do. But this isn't something you don't want to do. This is what you do want to do. Remember the outset. If you love, and you do, you love him, you're going to want to obey him. Listen what he says in chapter 11, 9 through 13. This is right after Jesus taught them how to pray. He says this in verse 9. So I say to you, Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask for it. Ask, Lord, lead me. Help me to obey. I don't want to live in this lifestyle anymore. I'm tired of it. Seek, and you will find. And I love the order there. Ask first, seek second. So it's not like there's no effort on your part. Yeah, seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And there is a warning in James that if we do ask, we need to ask sincerely. We can't trick God. And then we get to verse 11, which I just love, right? Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Okay, context is important here, because I'm sure if my sons were like, hey, get me a fish, and I came home with a snake, they'd be like, yeah, this is better than a fish. But if you're thinking about, like, eating food, right? Like, eating a snake doesn't sound very appealing in any way, shape, or form. If you need sustenance, you want the fish. That's what he's going with here. If your son asks for a fish to eat, will he give him a snake instead? Or this one's more obvious. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Hard-boiled scorpion here. I like my scorpions over easy. Verse 13, if you then, oh, I love this. If you then, though you are evil, we have that evilness in us, don't we? Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Holy Spirit in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus wants to empower you for this life that you long for. And if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come in you. If you ask him, he will lead you. If you ask him, he will guide you. If you ask him, he will empower you to live the life that you desire. I encourage you, if you're in that place today, where you're stuck in a sin and you know it and you hate it, start asking. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the power and the courage to say no to this desire that I hate within me. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your love. Help me to obey you. I want to obey you. I love you. If you're not in that moment, you're going to be. You're going to be there at some point. That's the war within us. Sometimes we win the battle, sometimes we lose. We win more than we lose. But when you get into that battle, remember, you don't want to be there. You know you don't want to be there. Ask. You will receive. The Lord wants you to win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't fully understand the Trinity. We don't. But we know this is true. For those of us who are in Christ, we recognize the Holy Spirit in us. He confirms to us that we are your children, and we long to obey you, Jesus. We long to obey you. There is no Father like you, Jesus. And so we ask, fill us, strengthen us with the power to say yes to you. We are weak. We are just children, Lord. We need your help. We need your gifting. Give us the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Fill us, unite us, that we might clothe ourselves with you and live the life we long and desire to live. Remind us, Jesus, when we get stuck in sin, that this isn't who we are, and this isn't even what we want, so that we can continue to live and grow in your likeness and in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.